you remember do you remember the when they started laying people off at North American? Was that all at once, or do you remember?
Well, they laid quite a few off at once, mm-hmm. and then about every week they'd be laying somebody off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So finally they got rid of all the women.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, do you remember people's reactions to that, how people felt about it?
Well, no. Of course, a lot of them didn't like the idea of getting laid off and the men staying on.
Mm-hmm.
But then they figured, well, after all, the men were there first, and we were there to help out because they couldn't get enough of men because a lot of the men were drafted, mm-hmm. you know, to go into the service.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we had to take over.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, after the war, they all came home, and, of course, those that were in the service had their jobs back.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Now, did you... Do you remember getting laid off yourself, or how that happened?
Well, no, they just happened to tell you know, different ones. I think we got a notice in our check or not saying that how we would be being laid off.
Mm-hmm.
And they told us the reason, because now that the war was over and
mm-hmm.
that they just couldn't use us, but they thanked us for all the work we did.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very nice about it, and they really hated to see us go,
mm-hmm.
but that was something that couldn't be helped.
Mm-hmm.
They laid people off everywhere. It wasn't only North American,
mm-hmm.
but everywhere, wherever they had women working that was on men's jobs,
mm-hmm.
were laid off.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that, you know, women working in a place,
mm-hmm.
where there wasn't very many men, well, they still continued on.
Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm. you were in the union still at the time?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Did they fight at all to keep women's jobs?
Well, under those conditions, fighting wouldn't do any good,
mm-hmm.
see. But if it was like the war was still on,
mm-hmm.
and if they went to lay a woman off or something for nothing very special,
mm-hmm.
well, they would fight for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't really happen, but
mm-hmm.
it would have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, no, they were good.
Mm-hmm. So, on that day you got your slip, do you remember how you felt about it? Or?
Well, I felt kind of upset, you know. I really expected it, but I didn't think it would be so soon. And I said, well, gee, I don't know what I'll do now.
Mm-hmm.
See? I said, I'll have to get another job and everything. But I didn't work anymore
mm-hmm.
in California. I came
mm-hmm.
right back home. See?
Now, how long had you been out sick before?
Oh, I guess I was out a couple of weeks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then had you worked very long after that?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
There were some quite
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I worked, must have been another year,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then the war was over then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you remember what time of year it was that you were laid off?
Oh, I think it was in the middle of the summer,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not mistaken. I think
yeah.
it was, because I know when I went back east, it wasn't cold.
Uh-huh.
It was, you know, it was around July or August, I believe,
mm-hmm.
when I got laid off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that would fit right in with
yeah.
the end of the war.
Mm, yeah.
So, how much longer did you stay in California before you went back here?
Oh, I guess I stayed a couple of weeks.
Uh-huh.
And then my son and I came back home.
Mm-hmm.
And then he worked... when we were in Massachusetts, I was sick. I took sick again, and he worked for me. And so then I really didn't do much of anything. We were living with my mother and father.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working at the dry cleaners.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to give it up
mm-hmm.
for a while. But then when I took that, I went back.
Mm-hmm.
And then... later on, when he became 18, he got married.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was on my own, so mm-hmm. I could go wherever I wanted to do anything. But we were both living alone mm-hmm. for a while, and then until my son came home out of the service. And then the three of us were the...
550 after the Korean War, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
So around 53 or 54?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he came back and he lived with you for a while in Weymouth?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And you were living with your...
My mother and father, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you had to move to another...
Well, I lived there for a while, and then I finally got... I lived with them. And then we had to move into another place.
Mm-hmm.
Because they sold the place that they had burned, and the owner didn't want to bother fixing it up, so he sold it.
There had been a fire at the house?
Yeah, some kid set it afire.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big apartment house.
Mm-hmm.
And my niece lived in there, and she lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that was in her house. And I took it. I asked if she wanted it. What do you think it is?
I don't know.
That's a medicine bottle. There was pills in it. You hear the pill?
Uh-huh.
That was in it. She said she didn't want anything to remind her of the fire.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine how hot and everything that was when that was a bottle and it burnt down like that.
Yeah. It's just a massive...
yeah, just woo.
Yeah.
So then from there, we got another house.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother and father and I lived together. Of course,
mm-hmm.
my son was married at that time.
Mm-hmm.
See, I was on my own. I was living in an apartment next to my mother and father that had
mm-hmm.
burned. And my son was living in East Weymouth, him and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So then that was it. And then I worked at the donut place.
And is this, you'd worked at these places during the war, too, weren't you?
No, it was after the war.
Oh, uh-huh. Okay,
yes.
So I thought you had mentioned working at a donut place before you went to the shipyard. Is that,
I don't know. That's kind of, but yeah.
I don't keep things in order.
Oh, I know it. I know it. So, I know I worked at the donut place, and I worked at the dry cleaners twice.
Mm-hmm.
They had moved, and then I went back working for them, but then they were the last ones I was working for
mm-hmm.
At the dry cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I left, they hated to see me go, but it was on account of my mother.
Mm-hmm.
She was sick and had her eye operated on.
No, that one was that.
Oh, let me see. In 73. Well, it must have been set in the 70s, 1970 or 71, something like
mm-hmm.
that. Because I know it wasn't very too long after
mm-hmm.
I had started to work there.
So when have you been doing the work in Arizona?
I think I first started in, wait a minute, I may be wrong. I think I went to Grand Canyon after I was laid off at
North
American.
Because
I worked there.
Uh-huh.
And I worked there for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the winter, I think I went back to Massachusetts. And then I went down to Florida to see if I could get a job, and I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I came from Florida back to California,
mm-hmm.
and then I went to work at Death Valley.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the wintertime.
Uh-huh.
And then from there, of course, that was in the summer I'd work at Grand Canyon,
mm-hmm.
and in the winter I'd work at Death Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of winters, I worked up at Sequoia. It was all for Fred Harvey.
Mm-hmm. Now, Now, can you tell me again what it was that you did?
Well, first I started off as a waitress at Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed there. I worked there for, well, that year as a waitress. And I was a waitress at Death Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was down at Death Valley, they needed somebody in the pantry. And they asked me if I'd want the job. So I said, yeah, I think I'd like it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd try it. I didn't have any experience or anything. But I liked it, and I did good, and I liked it better than waitress work.
Mm-hmm.
I would make all the salads and sandwiches, and of course they had the baker would bake all the stuff that I'd have to serve,
mm-hmm.
the desserts, you know, ice creams and cakes, pies, and everything like that. And let me see, and then from there, that was in Death Valley. And then from there, I think I worked at Sequoia that fall and winter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean summer.
Right.
Because it's cold up there in the winter. It's the fall and summer. And then from there, I think that's when I got a letter from my mother saying that my father was going blind.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told my boss then, I thought I'd better go home because
mm-hmm.
so I could help them.
Mm-hmm.
So then I did. I went home.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the place next to them, and I took care of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mother had that trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the meantime, when I went back, I was working for the dry cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a quit.
Yeah, you had worked. Did you work in for Fred Harvey, how long?
Well, I started in, in about 45
mm-hmm.
after the war, after I left, what's
yeah.
it called?
And your son moved with you to
No, my son was, my kids were grown up and married then.
Mm-hmm.
They must have been, because I wasn't at home, and there were my youngest son was living in Weymouth,
mm-hmm.
and the other two, and they were living on their own,
mm-hmm.
see, so that's when I went off on my own,
mm-hmm.
and that's why I traveled back and forth,
mm-hmm.
and of course, after the First World War, I started as a waitress up at Old Orchard, Maine.
Right.
And then from there, I went to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd go back to Maine again
mm-hmm.
in the summer.
So you'd already
and back
done
to,
this?
Yeah, I had done this work.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd done waitress work. But then when I, as I say, after I did waitress work
mm-hmm.
at Death Valley,
mm-hmm.
they put me in
mm-hmm.
as a pantry woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that for a while, and they had me head pantry woman.
Mm-hmm.
So I had people working under me, see,
mm-hmm.
and I could do the hiring and firing,
mm-hmm.
which whatever I had to do,
mm-hmm.
and so I stayed there for a while,
mm-hmm.
and then I think Death Valley was the last time I worked at doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So I went home then. Because, see, my mother and father were all right, but then as I was working in the hotels, then that's when I had to quit and go back, and that was at Death Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, do you remember what kinds of wages you were making working for
this? For Fred Harvey?
Uh-huh.
Well, see, we get paid, I think it was twice a month,
uh-huh.
and we get our room and board,
mm-hmm.
and I got to... Oh, I think it was around $57 or something like that every 2 weeks
mm-hmm.
with my room and board. Of course, we got good tips. That's when I was there. But when I went as a pantry woman, I think I got a little bit more money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what it was. Yeah.
So, but the money was less than you've been making.
Oh, yeah. Well, whenever you work in a hotel... you get less money because you get your room and board.
Uh-huh.
See?
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, if I had to room out,
mm-hmm.
well, then they'd give you more money.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good money, you know, for where you get your room and board.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a nice dormitory,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we get good food. I could have anything I wanted because where I was working in the pantry,
mm-hmm.
I could have anything. And that was the last I worked for Fred Harvey.
Mm-hmm. Now, about what year was it that your father started using his eyesight?
Well, that was in about in the 50s, I believe, the 60s.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You'd mentioned before that you were there with them for about 10 years.
Yeah, so. Well, they lived next door. I guess they lived, I must have lived about a year.
Mm-hmm.
Close to a year, next door to them, and then the three of us moved in together,
mm-hmm.
and his eyesight was bad then, mm-hmm. and his hearing wasn't too good either. But then my mother, when she took sick, well, then that was it. So
mm-hmm.
I put all my time in with them.
Yeah.
And I guess I told you before how she fell in the bathtub and pulled me in with her, and her head hit the faucet,
mm-hmm.
and it caused a concussion,
mm-hmm.
and she never came out of it. We
mm-hmm.
took her to the hospital, but she never came out of it. But with my father, he died at home, and he was so afraid that I'd put him in a rest home, and I told him I wouldn't, as long as God gave me strength to take care of him, he'd never go. And so the last words he said was after I just bathed him, and he was bedridden, and I'd have to bathe him in bed and everything, and he'd keep saying, well, what are you doing that for? And I said, well, I got to wash you. And of course, he, you know, he lost control of his bowels, and he didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have an awful job cleaning him and
mm-hmm.
spread his sheets and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to wash 3 or 4 sheets a day,
mm-hmm.
and I had to do it all by hand.
Mm.
And so one day, I just finished bathing and changed his bed and got him all cleaned up, and I went to go out in the other room, and he grabbed my hand, and he said, Mildred, he said, I want to thank you. He said, you've been a wonderful daughter to your mother and me,
mm-hmm.
and he said, I want to thank you for everything you've done. And I said, Pa, you don't have to thank me for anything. I said, I'm only glad that I could do it. I'm glad. I thank God for giving me the strength
mm-hmm.
to take care of you and mom. And I said, he said, well, it won't be long, he said, and you won't have to worry about me. I said, Pa, come on, don't talk like that. I said, you'll outlive us all.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no. And those were the last words he said. He
mm-hmm.
died during the night.
Mm-hmm.
So then I stayed there alone, and the landlady told me afterwards, she said, gee, you know, the son had charge of the place. They were going to paint the place up and everything, but I figured I'd rather, you know, move, because I knew there was somebody else. Her niece wanted the house, and it was about 5 or 6 rooms, and it was too much for me,
mm-hmm.
and so I gave it up,
mm-hmm.
and then I came back to California. After my brother brought me out here, and I stayed here.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed. I was living with my son down in Wilmington. And then I went back again. Things didn't work out too good. So I went back to Mass, and I stayed there. I got a room in an apartment place.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stayed there for a while. And then Well, when I first went there, I had to get into a rooming house, and it was terrible.
Well, to back up just a little, did your mother die before your father died?
Yes, uh-huh. He died in 73, Christmas Eve.
Yeah. And he died in
January 22nd
mm-hmm.
of 76.
Mm-hmm. And he lived to be quite...
He lived to be, he was 95,
mm-hmm.
and my mother was 89,
mm-hmm.
and if she had lived another month, she would have been 90.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was it.
So you, had spent, I think, maybe around 10 or so years there in Massachusetts with them.
Yeah.
So you probably moved to Massachusetts in the early 60s.
Yeah.
And then from there, you said you moved to California for a little while, or your brother?
My brother was coming out here,
mm-hmm.
and my son made an apartment for me in his garage and wanted me to come out and live. And it was mm-hmm. a nice apartment and everything. And I liked it, but it was awful hot and everything. I just couldn't take it.
Mm-hmm.
So, living in a garage, it's not reinforced, you know, where to make it hot or cool. It was just the plain garage, you know. Mm-hmm. Although we put up a wall and everything, but it was awful hot. I used to have to go into his house to keep cool or to keep warm.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd put the gas stove on in the winter,
mm-hmm.
you know, take the chill off. But I was in mm-hmm. his place most of the time. And so then I thought, well, gee, I think I'll go back home. I hadn't seen the folks or anything, so I came back home. And I went to New Hampshire up to my brother's house. He's the one that took me to California, he and his wife. And I stayed there for a week or two, I guess. And I went down to Massachusetts, and I got a room in the rooming house. I said, never again. I wouldn't do that.
Because
there was a woman there. She thought she owned the place.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me I had to do this and I had to do that. I had to help keep the place clean and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, listen, I'm paying my rent. I'm not supposed to do housework. I said, if you want to do it, go ahead. But I said, I'm not going to do it. So anyway, then I had a chance to get another place. I get on what they call Section 8. That's HUD for low income.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, I wasn't working then,
mm-hmm.
and I had to do something. So I got on that, and I got an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to pay, I think it was $85 a month, and then HUD paid the rest. So I stayed there, I guess, a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, my brother and his wife are coming out here again. So in the meantime, I had my son that was living out here, which I had lived with. He and his wife get in touch with HUD.
Mm-hmm.
And find out if I could be transferred or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, yes, I could. So I went to the HUD in Massachusetts, and I told her how I wanted to go to California. And she says, well, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So she wrote a letter and everything, and I came out here. My son had an apartment for me down in Colton, but he wanted to put a deposit on it, and they said, no, I didn't have to. They said they knew there'd be one vacant when I got there. So when I arrived, my son took me down the next day, and they had two apartments. So she showed me one, and I took that. And so I stayed there for over a year, and then I moved up here.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope to stay here.
Okay, and that's definitely communication.